What I want to preach on tonight is victorious living. Amen. Victorious living. And I believe that Christians can have a victorious Christian life. Amen. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Amen. And Jesus Christ said that in the New Testament. And the Old Testament, the children of Israel in the wilderness was a time of testing for them. And Canaan land was a picture of victorious Christian living. That's what it's a picture of. Canaan land was never a picture of heaven, because in heaven there's no battles to fight. The battle is over. Amen. But Canaan land was a picture of, hey, living the victorious Christian life. And I don't know about you, that's the kind of life I want to live as a child of God. The victorious Christian life. And even when things are at their worst, that's when Christians can shine their best. Amen. That's why I love the book of Daniel. Because the book of Daniel, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they are in enemy territory. They're in the captivity. They have been made eunuchs by the king of Babylon. They're there in the palace. They're there with all the debauchery. They're there in the worst situation that the world could offer. They're in the center of the worldliness of the nation that's in control of the world. And that's Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian kingdom. But in the midst of it, they become shining and burning lights. Amen. Now, we're living in an evil day. But that doesn't mean we can't be victorious in our Christian life. I'm telling you, we can be. So, let's find Daniel chapter number 1. If you found it, say amen. We'll know you're there. Amen. And let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word tonight. And I do pray that you bless it as we look at these next few chapters about the victorious living that these men had because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, it's the practical example of what you said in the New Testament, that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And God, they proved it. They proved with their faith that they had the victory. And God, if they had it in their worst of circumstances, God, surely we can have it in the day in which we live. And Lord, that's why you gave us these things. You said the things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patient and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. God, I'm thankful for the hope that the story of their lives gives. Help us, Father, to live in the hope of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, tonight as we look at victorious living, Daniel chapters 1 through 3 is what we're going to look at. But the first six chapters of Daniel are highly biographical in nature. And it tells us the history of the Babylonian captivity through the lens of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And some of the greatest lessons that are ever taught are taught in these three chapters. And they set before us the basic principles of living in an alien and a hostile world. They're living in an alien world. They had to learn the language of Babylon. They had to learn the culture of Babylon. They had to learn the customs of Babylon. And listen, and you know what? They were strangers and pilgrims in a foreign land. And you know, when you get saved, you become a stranger and a pilgrim in a foreign land. Amen. And the Bible says that. Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse number 13. You can keep your finger in Daniel because that's where we're going to be. But chapter 11 verse 13, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but have seen them afar off and persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." What are we? We're strangers and pilgrims. We're just passing through. You know, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I understand sinners trying to hold on for all they got because this is all they got. But we got treasure laid up in heaven. We got a place that Jesus Christ been preparing for the last 2,000 years. And we got a place, hallelujah, that is reserved for you and for me if you're a child of God. Amen. Thank God for that. And so we're persuaded of that. Look in 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 11. And again, it says the same thing here. 1 Peter 2, 11. "Dear beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, we don't like verse number 13, because it says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. For so is with the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You know, hey, I hate all the little rules that everybody has, you know? And and especially all this mask thing, right? The one guy, he went into Walmart, and the guy said, hey, where's your mask? And he says, it's right here, it's in my pocket. And he said, put it on. So he put it on top of his head, right over top of his ears. He said, I'm wearing it. I'm wearing it. That's rebellion is what that is, right? My daughter sent me one, a picture of a dog. They had and you can only do this to a lab. And it had a picture. It had six pictures of a lab. One was it under its chin. One was it on top of its head. One was it over its eyes. One was it under its nose. One was it with not at all. And then it had the right, wearing it the right way, covering the nose and mouth. It was hilarious. And he said, this is Dad, Mom. And I'm laughing. I said, man, I don't want to be a rebel. I don't want to be a rebel. And you know, and you want to obey the rules. You want to, you know, and you have to remind yourself it's important to obey the rules. I'm so glad I got these things in my car now. I got these little squares in my car from State Farm, and it gives me a driving score over a 2-week period. It tells me every time I exceeded the speed limit, every time I braked too hard, every time I did everything wrong in the car. And I said, man, I said, you know, I knew I was a horrible driver, but I didn't know how horrible I was. And you say, what are you doing? I'm improving vastly. You know, I've had some scores, 86, 87, you know, and I said, you know, and I'm trying to improve my horrible driving skills. Right. And, you know, unless I have a weak moment and completely forget that I did that the other day when I was going over to the hospital or something. I know what it was. I was trying to get hurried to pick you up, John, Brother John. And it said I had all these events on my thing saying you did this and you did that and blah 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 blah. My score was down to 74. I said, yeah, I got to pay attention to what I'm doing. But you know what? I like it, but I don't like it. You know what? I like it because I need to do better when it comes to obeying traffic laws. I don't like it because I'm a rebel in my heart. But I told Lisa, this is going to be good for us. You know? One day I thought she had all the violations. I looked on there. I looked at the time. And I said, oh, no, that was me. Because Miss Lisa drives pretty good. She's not like me. But anyway, so what's the idea? Hey, listen. If it doesn't violate God's conscience, if it doesn't violate the law of God, then what do you got to do? You got to submit yourself to it. And why? For conscience sake and for the glory of Jesus Christ. And again, we're independent Baptists can be some of the worst. We're rebels. You know, we're not going to do anything. If they say you got to do it, we're not going to do it because we're independent Baptists and we're a law unto ourselves. That's wrong. That is wrong. And it gets a lot of Christians in trouble. And, you know, and that's why, hey, when I get pulled over by the police, I said, you got me. Absolutely. He said, do you know what you were doing wrong? I said, not exactly. I was doing so many things wrong. I'm not sure which one you stopped me for. So whatever you say I was doing it. You know, unfortunately, I have been let go all these times. Now, I know that can't last forever. But what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say we need to obey the law. If it doesn't violate God's conscience, we obey the law. Now, and again, you know, we're strangers and pilgrims. I get that. And Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego, they're pictures of the New Testament Christian in the world with the pressures of compromise, conformity, and carnality. And we're being pressured every day to compromise. The world wants us to agree with them on everything. And we're never going to agree when it comes to same-sex marriage. That's an abomination to God. We're never going to agree when it comes to killing babies. They can forget it. That's murder. There are some things we're never going to go along with. Now, we may have to go along with the Green New Deal for conscience sake. They said today, we can expect in the next year or two for our electric rates to triple. That is not good news. Because who does that hurt? people at the bottom of the scale. They always say they're trying to help the people at the bottom of the scale while they crush them with their feet. Isn't that the truth? Natural gas right now is dirt cheap. It's $2. $2, it was a huge number of cubic feet in gas. They said the Green New Deal will make it go to $20. You know, we've run the gas furnaces here, and it hasn't cost hardly anything. Now, my heat pump's been high, right? But the gas at church has been minuscule because they have made natural gas through fracking and these pipelines, natural gas pipelines. They have made heating with natural gas dirt cheap. I mean dirt cheap. We can run these furnaces in this building, and we forgot and let them run, and our bill was still $146. That's cheap for these buildings, right? And I thought, wow. I said, but they're talking about, can you imagine if that thing went up 10 times? And they say people now have to choose between paying their light bill and paying their rent. Can you imagine if it increased exponentially 4 to 10 times? Now, we're being, you know, hey, there's going to be, when that happens, you know, hey, you got to conform, right? Or you got no electricity, you got no heat. But Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. You know, we're the clay, and Jesus Christ is the potter. We're conforming to Him, not this world. This world says you got to conform. The head of the military, the Secretary of Defense, said we have got to root out anyone who professes and believes to be a conservative in the military. That's wrong. Because you are allowed to have a political opinion in this country. You know, and there's going to be some hard choices made by our men and women in the military. I mean hard choices that are going to have to be made. Because of this new thought that we have to purge, you know, and you've heard what they've said. Things are going downhill. You understand that? Conservatives have to be reprogrammed. We have to reprogram the 74 million people who voted for Donald Trump. That's a lot of deprogramming. Good luck with that. You know? But what are you trying to say here? The pressure to conform is going to be great. Just as great as it was in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's day and Daniel's day. And so, you know, the basic principles for living, they set the example for that. And their behavior towards the world is an example for us today. I want you to notice what they did. And we got to notice what they did, and because it set an example for us. Look in Daniel chapter 1. Let's read verses 1 to 8, and we begin tonight that their walk was challenged. Listen, your spiritual walk is going to be challenged as a Christian. Not everyone's going to say, I appreciate your faith. Because most people are going to, there's going to be people who despise our faith, right? There's no guarantee that, hey, that people are going to love us because we're a child of God. That's just not true. Let's look there in Daniel chapter 1, and for time's sake, we know that they were besieged. And let's pick it up in verse number 3. And it says, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, of the king's seed and of the princes, children whom there was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge, understanding and science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So they were looking for some educated people that they could train, that could learn, right? God's not against education, He's for it. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Why? Because there was famine in Israel. They were starving to death. And health-wise, their health had deteriorated. Starvation makes the body break down. And he said, hey, I want you to feed these people. I want you to give them the best food we got. Give them wine to drink and fatten these guys up. Build their muscles back up. Now among these there were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now he's a Jewish boy. Jewish boy, Jewish man. And he says, I can't eat that. Because swine, pig's flesh, was an abomination to God for an Israelite. And they brought that meat and set it in front of him. And he said, now, wait a minute. Hey, I'm a decent, dedicated, devoted child of God. And you know what? I can't eat that. Now, right away, there's a problem. You know? What do they say? Beggars can't be choosers? Right? And right away, he's being challenged. And you know what? We're going to be challenged. But guess what? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We do not have to compromise when it comes to our values, our positions, and our convictions. Hey, we can stick to them in every area of life. How? With God's help, we can do it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. But see, you have to value your convictions. And Daniel did. Look in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse number 8 and 9. Philippians 4 and verses 8 and 9. I love the book of Philippians because, you know, Paul wrote that to the believers in Philippi. And again, the Philippian church is the one church that he didn't have to rebuke. He says, and notice what he says here, in verse 8 and 9, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, he said, look, he said, I can't eat this stuff. I know better, right? Now, if you didn't know better, that'd be one thing, but he knows better. And he's of the king's seed. And he has a sense of decency and conviction when it comes to everyday life. And, you know, and we're going to be asked to compromise when it comes to work, play, home, and family. You know, don't think that we're exempt from that. The pressure is going to be greater in these last days than it's ever been in this nation. And, you know, I believe this. I've always said it. People will respect your sincere conviction. They will respect it. But don't mistake respect for rejoicing. They will respect your conviction, but they won't like you for it. Right? If you're trying to win a popularity contest, you can forget it if you have any convictions at all. Because just the mere sight of you will put them under conviction and guilt. You say, what is conviction? It's guilt. They feel guilty just being around you because your life is different from theirs. And if your light is a bright and shining light, hey, they're not going to like that. And that's what godly convictions are. They're a burning and a shining light. So what does God ask you to do? Be consistent. You know, and this is where we all struggle. You got to be consistent. Look at verse number 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Hey, when you're doing good, what does God do? God even makes your enemies to like you. When you love God and you're doing right, God can give you favor even with your enemies. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear unto my lord the king who have appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your face as worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. You say, what is pulse? It's cracked corn. It's grits. Now, if you ever had grits for breakfast in the morning, grits stick to your ribs. And hey, grits is something that's very good to eat. It's very wholesome. Can I tell you, it's better than Frosty Flakes and Cheerios. it's better than Fruit Loops and all that kind of stuff. Captain Crunch. You understand that? Hey, you want to be filled? Fill your belly up with some grits or some oatmeal. I guarantee you, you won't be hungry 5 minutes later. He says, then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. And he consented them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. End of 10 days, their countenances were appeared fair and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. And Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. Now, you say, what do they do? You see, it's how you handle yourself. He said, hey, you know, we were raised, we weren't allowed to eat that. God doesn't want us to eat that. He said, well, what am I going to do? That's all we got. And he said, well, give us pulse to eat and water to drink. You got plenty of that. And see, prove us 10 days and see if it's not better than what you're feeding us. You know, they didn't take the attitude, you know, I'm throwing it on the floor. Get this junk out of here. You're an idiot. You know, again, would that have got him anywhere? You see, attitude is everything. And they understood we're being asked to compromise. We're being asked to give in. We're being asked to commit an abomination in what we believe when it comes to our relationship with the God of Israel. And they said, hey, prove us 10 days. And see if things are not better. It's how you go about it that makes all the difference. And they did. And God blessed them as a result of how they went about it. You know? To compromise your convictions is to lose all credibility. You know why Congress and the White House have no credibility? Because they don't believe in anything. They don't stand for anything. They're always deciding what they believe based on a poll, right? Yeah. You know what I appreciate for people who go up there and say, I don't care what any of you people think. This is what I believe, and this is where I stand. Hey, when the guy went down to the church in Wittenberg and he put those 99 things up there and nailed it to the door, and he said, here I stand. I am not moving. I have more respect for that than someone who changes their mind every 5 seconds. The world, the flesh, and the devil challenge our consistency. They do. When I worked for John Harlan and Domino's, you know, Domino's would always say, hey, on holiday, Super Bowl Sunday. They said, everyone has to work all day on Sunday starting at 12 o'clock. I said, I won't be there. They said, no, you have to. I said, no, I don't. Now, Domino's was my second job, but nobody could deliver more pizzas at Domino's than me. I was their number one driver. No accidents, no tickets, and everybody got their pizza fresh and hot. Remember, it had to be there in 30 minutes, or they got $3 off. I said, I can get it there. And I did get it there. I mean, I lived in the city of Reading. I knew the city of Reading like I knew my hand. I could get it there. On time, fresh, hot, not sticking to the top of the box. And I said, I'm not working on Sunday. I'm not coming in at 12 o'clock. And I said, here's what I will do. I will come in after church and work till an hour before church. And I'm going home. Church starts at 6 o'clock and I'm going to be there. When church gets out at 7:30, I will come and finish out the night. But I am not working during church. Take it or leave it. You know what they said? That'll be okay. But the amount of pressure they tried to put on me to do it. I said, no, I'm not doing that. You know? Hey, go do this. No, I'm not doing that. When I worked for Dosimeter Corporation, I'm telling you, the owner of the company said, I want you to go pick this beer up. I said, no, I'm not picking that beer. I'm not doing that. That's not part of my job classification. You can fire me if you want. I'm not doing that. The vice president of the company, Eddie, said he smoked. And he says, I need you to pick me up some smokes. I said, you'll be picking them up yourself. I was 19 years old. I said, I'm not picking them up. I said, listen, I don't pick them up for my dad, and I'm not picking them up for you. And I need this job, and I don't want to be fired, but that goes against my personal convictions, and I'm not doing it. Of course, today you got to be 21 to buy cigarettes, right? That would have solved that problem. But back then it wasn't. So I'm not doing it. I need this job, but there's things I'm not doing. He said, I'll get someone else to do it. Let me tell you, you got to stand up for your convictions. Because if you don't stand up for them, who's going to stand up for them? You got to have some, you know, hey, and I understand, and listen, I've been in them places where there was extreme amount of pressure put on you. John Harlan always had the picnic. They always had the dinner. They always had this stuff. And it was always wrong. And he said, can't you drink one beer? No, I can't drink one beer. Can't you have a glass of champagne? What's it going to hurt? You're not going to get drunk. It's one glass of champagne. No, thanks. And I told the plant manager, I said, I don't think my job depends upon me going to this picnic. I think we have laws in America against that. Now, I wasn't mean. I wasn't rude. I just reminded them that we do have labor laws. And I thought to myself, but you know what I always tried to be? I tried to be the best that I could be everywhere I was, because I knew the day was coming for compromise. And I would have to be a child of God, and even yet to be a preacher of the gospel, there would be things I couldn't do. And see, Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, their walk is being challenged here in a big way. And God will allow you to be challenged to see what you will do. Hey, everyone gets challenged. I don't care if it's the little kids that go to school, they get challenged at school. If you're a child of God, your faith is going to be challenged. And what are you going to do when it is? Now, fortunately, my dad raised me. Oh my gosh. You know how I remember the 50s and they combed their hair back like this? And it was wet and greasy? I wore my hair like that till I was through all of sixth grade. Do you know how many people wore their hair like that in sixth grade? One. We had 50s day, and he said, well, Chris, that's 50 days every day for you. My hair was short. Now understand, 60s, 70s, 1975, all the hippies, long hair. If you got short hair, there's something wrong with you. Now I got short hair, and now it's combed back like 1950. I'm still stuck in 1950. Get on the buses. What is wrong with you? You got to let your hair grow. You're different from everybody else. My dad didn't know it, but he was training me to be a Christian. He was. Because if you're a Christian, you're going to be different from everyone else. Don't you know that Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego were different from everyone else? They said, eat the meat. Quit rocking the boat. What's the matter with you? You're going to get us all in trouble. You know how many times I've heard that my whole life? I said, I am not doing that. Hey, their walk was challenged. Their witness was challenged. Oh boy, is your witness going to be challenged if you're a child of God? Chapter number 2, of course, the king has this dream. And the king is no dummy. And he puts the challenge out there, and he calls all the magicians and all the astrologers, verse number 2, and we're paraphrasing for time's sake, and he says, hey, I want you to tell me my dream. And they tell me the interpretation of my dream. And verse number 4, then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever, tell thy servants a dream, and we will show the interpretation. And the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me, and if you will not make known to me the dream with the interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show me the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards, great honor, and therefore show me the dream and the interpretation. He said, if you guys really have got this, all this magic going on, then you can read my mind. Tell me what the dream was. And of course, that's impossible, right? Only God can read minds, right? What do they come back and say? They come back and say exactly that. They answer in verse number 10 and say, there's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there's no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such a thing of any magician, astrologer, Chaldean. It is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there's none other that can show before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not in flesh. They said, only God can know what's in your head. And of course, the king gets mad. He says, that's it. Death for every one of you. Death for every one of you. But the problem was, guess what? That affects Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. And it says, verse 13, the decree went forth, and the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Now, what are you going to do when your faith is being challenged? What are you going to do now? I mean, really, are you going to lead a riot? Are you going to lead a demonstration? Are you going to take up arms? What are you going to do when your faith is being challenged? Your witness is being challenged. Look what Daniel does. Verse 14, and I like this. You know what the first thing is? When they make laws in this country, and they're going to make them. I promise you they're going to make them. You say, what's the first thing we should do? Look what it says, verse 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show him, the king, the interpretation. You know what he did? He didn't panic. When they say, you know, you're going to turn your guns in, don't panic. When they say we're going to close the doors of the church, don't panic. When they say, hey, you're going to have to get a mark put on you, like they did in Nazi Germany, right? And to show that hey, you're a Christian, and we want everyone to know, hey, that you're different and that we're against you. Can I tell you? Don't panic. When they say, hey, you got to be deprogrammed and reprogrammed, what's the first thing you do? Don't panic. When people panic, they do everything wrong. You ever been in a panic and you couldn't get your key in the door? You know? This vicious dog is running up to your house and you're looking at it and you can't get the key in the door. You know? I've had the pit bull outside. I'm thinking, man, get the key in the door. Calm down. Get the key in the door. Right? Get in the house. Right? But when you're panicking, usually you can't do anything right. It says, Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and peace and a sound mind. You know what you got to do? You got to stay calm. And then you got to petition God. Verse 17, Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah and his companions, that they would desire mercy to the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Now this thing's serious, and it's urgent. And they say, what are we going to do? We're going to pray first. First thing we're going to do is have a prayer meeting. Now I guarantee you, if they ever say we're going to round up Christians, maybe we'll have a good prayer meeting. And everyone will show up. Because it will be what? Important. What did the church do when Peter was fixing to get his head cut off? The whole church met together and they prayed. Because all of a sudden, it was urgent. Philippians 4:6 Or 5 says, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hey, don't panic and petition God. You know, getting a lawyer, taking up arms, sitting in a corner and crying isn't going to help the problem. But gathering together in prayer can solve the problem. Thank God, God reveals the secret in verse 19. And what are they doing? They're giving God the praise. Hey, God's going to see us through no matter what happens. And you know what we do? We praise God in all things. Praise God in all things. And God reveals the secret. And what are we supposed to do next? Hey, we're being challenged here. Look at verse number 25. Verse 24. Therefore, Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known to the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known to me the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king have demanded, cannot the wise men, astrologer, magician, soothsayer show unto the king? But here's what he says. Look where he's given glory. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. And my dreams and the vision I had upon my bed are these. And he gives him the dream. Now he's validating the wise men, because the wise men said only God can tell you this. But you know what he did? He never stole the glory from God. He said, God gave me the dream. And God's giving me the interpretation. And he gives him the dream, and he gives them interpretation. You know what? And what happens in the end? Look at verse 46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. And the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is your God, is a God of gods, a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many gifts, and made him ruler over the province of Babylon, chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. You know why that happened? Because he wouldn't eat the king's meat. It all goes back to not eating the king's meat. I'm not compromising. I'm not compromising. And though the pressure was put on him to compromise, he said, hey, I believe in God, and I'm sticking with God. And you know what? When you stick with God, God elevates those who elevate him. And he was given all those great rewards. Galatians 6:7-9. Hey, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap everlasting not life. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. It'll all work out in the end if we keep our faith. But we live in a day when people panic so easily. They said, if I don't give up my faith, I'm going to lose my job. Well, I'd rather lose my job than lose my faith. I'd rather lose my job than lose my Christianity. I'd rather lose my life than to lose my hope. Chapter 3, their worship was challenged. We know the story. We don't got to spend a lot of time there tonight. The king in chapter 3, he makes his idol, and everybody has to bow down and worship it. And if you don't bow down and worship it, then you're going into a burning fiery furnace, right? Verse 6, whoso falleth not down and worship it, the same hour shall be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. The same hour, that's pressure. He said, so when you hear all this music, you better be falling down. And of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're not falling down. Verse 8, the Chaldeans accused them, and they said, O king, there's a bunch of people that they don't regard your laws, and they fall not down. Verse 12, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, O king, have not regarded thee, nor they serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast made. Nebuchadnezzar calls them in rage and fury, verse 13. And they're brought in, verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, I'm giving you one more chance. One more chance. If you be ready, by the time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Who is that God shall deliver you out of my hands? Who do you think you are? I'm the king. You're going to bow. The world wants us to bow. This bunch in Washington today, they want us to bow. I like what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They're standing by their convictions. They're willing to face the consequences. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're not choosing our words carefully. If so be our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But be it known unto you, unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image that thou hast set up. Even if we got to burn in the fire, we're not doing it. I always appreciate people that stand by their convictions. I'm not doing it. You can say anything you want. I'm not doing it. Give me that kind of child of God. Don't think you're not going to be challenged. We are going to be challenged. This generation has never been tested. Since the Great Depression, we have never been tested, and we are going to be tested. The Great Depression generation is all but gone, and our day of testing is coming. And we're going to all find out what we're made of. They said, we're going to face the consequences, and we're not careful about it. You say, why? Because they're confident in God. Remember, the blood of the martyrs was the seeds of the church. And the more Pharaoh punished the children of Israel, the more they grew. Christianity flourishes under persecution. That's why Matthew 10:28 said, fear not them kill the body, but fear him which can destroy both the soul and body in hell. They were confident. They said, our God will deliver us. But if not, we're not compromising. And of course, they went into the fire. Don't think because you're a Christian, you're not going to have to go in the fire. Don't think that because you're a Christian, you're exempt from what's going to happen to people. You're not exempt. We may have to go to jail. The guy who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, he lived in that tower in England. Solitary confinement, he wrote Pilgrim's Progress, the great work. John Bunyan. It was through the persecution and his faith. Listen, his wife and kids were starving to death. King said, say you're sorry and that the Church of England is right and I'll let you go. Say the words. He said, I will not say the words. And if I have to die in this tower, so be it. Somehow we think in 21st century that could never happen. Don't count on it. Things are turning in this country and it's turning very fast. And one day we may be the enemy of the state. We have favor now. Remember what I always say? When it's too good, it can't last forever. And we've had it pretty good. So there they go in the fire. And you say, what happens if you go in the fire? You'll come out okay. One way or the other. One way or the other. They go in the fire, and what happens? Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel, delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. You know what? When you say, I'm going to serve God no matter what, it will always work out. You say, does that mean God's going to pull me from the fiery furnace? Did you ever read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 37? And there were others that were tortured, sawn asunder, that they were destitute, poor vagabonds in this world? All of the apostles were martyred, except for John. And they boiled him in oil, and he just wouldn't die, so they exiled him to Patmos. And he wrote the book of Revelation. What makes you think that we are better than Jesus Christ and the 11 apostles? We wouldn't have a church that had they compromised. There would be no Christianity had they compromised. Paul said, I refuse not to die. I appeal to Caesar. I'm going to preach to Caesar. Problem was, Claudius died, Nero came to office. And Nero was a crazed maniac who hated Christians. And he cut the Apostle Paul's head off. What did Paul say? He said, I'm now ready to be offered in the time of my departure's hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only, but unto all those who love his appearing. You can kill the body, but you can't kill the soul. You say, what was Paul saying while the guy was swinging the axe? He set me free. He set me free. Right? What did he do? He set Paul free from his body. He set Paul free from prison. He set Paul free from starvation and from the misery of being in a Roman cell condemned to death. He showed us what victorious Christian living was. That's what the Bible does. It shows us victorious Christian living, whether in life or in death. Victorious Christian living. You say, Brother Chris, do you want to be persecuted? Not even a little bit. I wasn't made for persecution. I wasn't made for suffering. I wasn't made for hardship. I was made for the Holiday Inn. And I will be the first one to admit it. But I've been threatened with prison. I have. I've been threatened with jail. I've been threatened with bodily harm. I've been threatened with death. But you know, people get freaked out when you have confidence in God. Amen. They are totally freaked out. Why aren't you scared? Delivering pizza will teach you a few things. I think everybody should deliver pizza in the ghetto. You will learn something about faith in God. When they're waiting outside with their gun and they think they're going to rob you, and there's 10 or 15 of them, you better have some faith in God. I'll never forget it. Ladies, when you go in someone's house and they lock you in to get their pizza, they say, come in, pizza man, come in, pizza man. No, I don't want to come in. No, you got to come in. Locking all the doors, you know, like on the movie shows, you know, lock. Over in Lincoln Heights? Are you kidding me? You're locking me in your house. He said, that's for your safety. I said, oh, okay. Take the money, give them the pizza. He said, no, they're waiting out there to rob you. They got a gun. You know that's going to happen. I mean, they shot and killed the one driver. I said, it's going to be okay. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm armed with a gospel gun. What is that? You see that Bible? You see them gospel tracts? That's all I need. I went out there and said, "Hey, pizza man." I said, "Hey, how are you doing? Let me tell you something. Here's a gospel tract for every one of you. You're going to stand before God Almighty one day, and He's going to cast your soul into the burning lake of fire. And you better be thinking about that." Man, they're backing up. The Red Sea had done parted. They said, "Okay, have a nice day." Never run to your car. Now, they told us, run to the house, deliver the pizza, and run back, deliver more pizzas. Not in the ghetto. You don't run to the door, and you don't run from the door. It's like dogs chasing something running. You don't run. And I gave them gospel tracts, and the one person said, "Yeah, mama's been telling you, you're going to go to hell." Because they got Christian mamas. Went and got in my car. I worked with Tony. Tony was a typical, scared to death, privileged white kid. Mom and dad are wealthy. He's only doing it because they say, "You got to learn to work, boy. Get you a job, or we're cutting off what do they call that thing that they give kids? We're cutting off your $1,200, $1,300, $2,000. We're cutting off your allowance if you don't get a job." So Tony's working. He lives in the rich part of town. He said, "Brother Chris," "Chris," he said, "how do you do that? Man, I'm scared to death. They would make me take all the deliveries of Lincoln Heights. But you don't get no tips. They don't give you no tip there. The only tip they got is don't die on the way out the door." That's the only tip they're giving you. You can't make no money delivering to Lincoln Heights. And I said, "No, you guys are going to go to Lincoln Heights also." I said, "Come here, Tony." I pulled out some gospel tracts. I said, "You see these gospel tracts?" I said, this is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You put these in your pocket. All you got to do is you come out the door, you pass them out. And say these words. This will tell you where you're going to spend eternity when you die. I said, "Repeat that. This will tell you where you're going to spend eternity when you die." He came back from Lincoln Heights. I said, "You know, that really works. And Tony's a lost Catholic going to hell." But he's passing out gospel tracts. Have some courage. Because we're going to face some things. And don't think you're not going to be tested. You will be. Let's stand for prayer. Miss Soon, you come.